Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsyth. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
We're going to have special music right at this time, and Morgan Edwards will come, and Tim Hendricks will come, and they're going to sing for us. And then right after they sing, Dr. Danny Whetstone will come and preach. You're in for a real blessing in the music and in the preaching of the word today. Amen. So we're looking forward to the time that we're going to have here. And Brother Danny Whetstone and Darlene are good friends of ours. What'd you tell me, 30 years ago? You came here the first time. Now, how about that? And they've been here pretty regular ever since. Except when he'd get mad at me and then he wouldn't come. Or whatever. But anyway, no, that was not true. But we really appreciate the Whetstones. What a blessing they've been to us over time. And Brother Danny is a leader, one of the leaders of Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions. Been with them for many, many years. He's a missionary, he and Darlene. He's a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's an evangelist. He's been all over the world preaching the gospel. We're thankful for them being with us. Amen. And we're thankful for these two guys being with us today. They're going to sing for us. Lord bless you.
Son, and give him the glory. how many of you will commit yourself this morning to be my visitors tonight? Let's see your hand. Thank you very much. Klein's is mine. It's good to be back with you at Peoples, and I trust that not only are you here this morning, but I trust you'll be back tonight. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I mean, just two extra nights, actually. And I hope you'll make every effort to be here in the services and that the Lord will speak to your heart. I hope that you will take your faith promise card seriously. I've seen thousands and thousands of these given out. I do not have one report to make of anyone being injured by them. So don't be afraid of it. Look over it. Pray about it. Ask the Lord what He would have you to do. Hundreds and hundreds of missionaries are on the field tonight because of this little program. I was in a church years ago, a church of, I guess, between 300 and 400 probably, was given $100,000 a year to missions. They instituted Faith Promise, and within 2 years, they were giving more than $200,000 a year to missions. And so it does help to get missionaries to the field. I hope everyone will do something. I know a church I used to preach in hadn't been there in several years now, but there were two men that gave over $700 a month to missions. Yeah. But the vast majority of missions is not supported by $700 gifts. It's 15, 10, 5, 100, 75. And we're able to put all of that together and get a lot of missionaries to the mission field. So we'll be saying a little bit about that this week. And there's nothing to be concerned about except to pray and say, Lord, what would you have me to give? And who knows, there might be somebody in the services this week that he'll not only want you to give, he'll want you to go. And perhaps even this week you'll surrender to give to the Lord your life. And nothing better could you do. All of us should be surrendered to that. I have never in my ministry been able to understand piecemeal surrender. I will surrender to this, or I'll surrender to this, or I'll surrender to this. Why don't we just settle that and say, I surrender to anything you want me to do. Just be surrendered. And then when the Lord speaks, it's just a matter of saying, okay, Lord, I'm ready. And I hope that what I have to say this morning will help us to understand that even more. So turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew chapter 28, a very, very familiar portion of Scripture for missions conferences, Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at just one verse, Matthew 28, and that verse is number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Now, I'll not ask you to turn to it, but listen as I read Acts 26, 12. Paul is writing, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he said, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. That word authority means permission or right or liberty or power to go and do something. Now, the interesting thing is that this word authority in Acts 26 is exactly the same word that is translated power in Matthew 28, 18. And it lends me to believe that though God has all power, I mean all strength, He can speak and anything can be done. I believe what He is speaking of when He speaks to His disciples in Matthew 28, 18 is not necessarily His strength, but His authority. He can give permission. Do you know that we talk about closed fields around the world, but strictly speaking, there are no closed fields. Because Jesus, with all authority, said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, some countries would be more dangerous than others, but as far as God is concerned, they're all open to the gospel. And by the way, whether they like it or not, the gospel's there. I remember in 04, I went with Brother Fagali to Baghdad for the dedication of the New Testament Baptist Church. I was so thrilled to go. And I thought, here we have an opportunity to be on the ground floor of getting the gospel into Iraq. I got there and found that that group of people that was commissioning that church that week had been meeting for 35 years. All of them had been to jail at one time or another, simply for attending a prayer meeting or a Bible study. And yet they met for that 35 years. I'll promise you that's true in Laos. That's true in North Korea. That's true in Iran. It's true in every country around the world. There's somebody that has taken the gospel seed, and there is a group of people that will meet today and worship the true and the living God. They might have to hide to do it, but they will do it. So strictly speaking, there's no such thing as a closed field. And by the way, there are a lot of fields in the world that Americans can't go as a missionary, but others can. And so we can go to places like India, where Brother Hendricks is from, see people saved by the grace of God, and they can get into countries as a servant of the Lord that we can't get into. The Filipinos are in Vietnam. A country that as an American missionary, we can't go in. Now, there are inventive ways to get into countries as students or to start a business or education. But God has commanded us to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. But it depends on what we do with the 18th verse of Matthew 28. As to whether we will get that done or not. Notice it with me again. He said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, or if you please, all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So the question is this, who's the authority in your life? I don't mean a authority. Who is the authority in your life and in mine? And I might ask this as well. What gives Christ the right to be the authority in any of our lives? Above anyone else. I would have you note, first of all, he has the authority because he is the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you have a problem with Genesis 1:1, I will promise you, you'll have a problem with the rest of the Bible. But if you can accept Genesis 1:1, it's very likely that you'll not have a problem with the rest of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You say, well, Brother Whetstone, I go to school, and I'm telling you, the educators that know this stuff, they tell me that billions of years ago, this planet was created. Well, that's interesting, because when I was in those schools that you're in now, they told us it was only a few hundred thousand years old. Now, I'm old, but I'm not billions of years old. And next year, they'll rewrite those books, and the next year, they'll rewrite those books, but this book never has to be rewritten. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I have no problem whatsoever with that. Billions of years ago. Yeah. And you're going to have to somehow fit those billions into about 6,000. Because that's about all this earth has been here, 6,000 years. You say, well, how did they get all of these? Well, I don't imagine that when God created the heavens and the earth and then fashioned man out of the dust of the earth, I doubt he created Adam as an infant. If he could create Adam with age, then why couldn't he create rocks with age too? Not that I'm prone to give evidence to any evolutionary thought or theory. I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe in theistic evolution. I believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John 1. It was Jesus, the Creator of all things. But not only is He the Creator, but He is also the Christ. I'm not going to ask you to turn to it, but let me, in Philippians chapter 2, I'll begin reading with verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now this is amazing. Even though I have read this hundreds of times through the years, it still amazes me that knowing Jesus Christ is the Creator of all things, and yet He was willing to humble Himself and take on flesh, become a servant. I believe that Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God, condescended from heaven to earth for our benefit and blessing and salvation. And He came into this earth by way of the virgin birth. Oh, Brother Whetstone, that's impossible. That's why I like it so good. It's impossible. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. You say, you mean of a young woman. All of us were born of young women. There's no miracle in that. That's pretty standard. And by the way, that's the only way you got born. But Jesus Christ was born of a woman that never knew a man. Up until that time at least. Mary was a virgin woman. Now, I know that there are religions in the world that have so abused Mary. But I'm going to tell you, you can't take it from her that she must have been an amazing woman. Maybe there were only 250,000, 300,000 people on the earth. But God chose that one woman out of all others to bring Him into this earth. I believe that she deserves an elevated place in our thought. She is not God. She had to get saved just like we have to get saved. She was buried. She'll be resurrected just like we will have to be. But she was an amazing woman indeed. I've often thought, what would it be like today if the Lord Jesus had to find a Joseph and a Mary? In the society that we're living in, when people don't even know what a woman is. On the Supreme Court, in our government, don't even have any idea what a woman is. Well, I'm getting a feel now and out there where I'll make somebody mad. But that's one of my specialties. Has been for years. Amen. Simply because I believe the Bible, believe what God has to say. The Lord Jesus was born of a virgin. And then He, of course, for some 3.5 years had ministry on this earth. He lived 33.5 years here on the earth, but about 3.5 of those years, He labored, performed miracles. Yeah. You say, you actually believe He walked on water? Oh, I know He walked on water. Sure. Even Simon Peter walked on water for a little bit. Surely Jesus can. You say, you mean to think that He took a handful of food and fed 5,000 people and then had baskets full remaining? Oh, I think He did it to the 5,000 and the 4,000. Sure. You really believe He spoke and Lazarus came forth out of the grave? Guarantee He did. Every miracle the Scripture records for us that Jesus Christ did, I believe it. He caused blinded eyes to see. He caused the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He caused the lame to walk. and the dead to live, and multitudes to be saved by the grace of God. This is the Christ who was the Creator also. And then that same Christ submitted Himself to the horrible death of Calvary. Of a cross did He go. He allowed Himself to be subject to men to the degree that they would put their fingers through His beard and snatch the hair out of His face. They would plait a crown of thorns and press it down on His brow. They'd put a blindfold across His eyes and slap Him in the face and say, "Prophesy, who smiteth thee, if thou canst tell?" They take the clothes from His body, and He stands naked before the crowd, and they beat Him with the cat of nine tails. And Isaiah says when they're finished with Him, His visage is so marred, you can't even recognize Him. And then up Golgotha's brow, He went with the old rugged cross. At the apex of that hill, He would willingly lie down upon that cross, and they would drive a spike through this hand and through this, cross His ankles, bend His knees just slightly, and drive a spike through His feet, and then hang Him between heaven and earth. Even the joints would come loose in His body. A soldier would cut a hole in His side, and the blood and the water would run forth. The blood would run from His face and His hands, His side, His feet, and it dripped off the end of His toe into the sand of that ancient land and wrote the greatest love story the world has ever known. The Messiah, the darling Son of God, died as the sacrificial lamb for the sins of mankind. Whether you're here this morning, a born-again believer, or you're here this morning as an unsaved unbeliever, Jesus Christ died for you. I'm unsaved and Jesus Christ, oh yeah, He died for you. Your sin debt is paid. But it only takes effect when you accept it. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, He says, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you hold it at arm's length and refuse to accept Him into your life as your Savior, when you die, you will go to a devil's hell, and that without remedy. And there's not a single soul in this room that wants that to happen to you. Even God does not want that to happen to you. He said, I would that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The darling Son of God, the Christ of eternity, died for our sins, which brings us to the third idea. First of all, He is the Creator. Secondly, He's the Christ. Thirdly, He's the Conqueror. Because they placed Him in a borrowed tomb. I'm going to read back in Philippians chapter 2 again, beginning in verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This same Jesus that subjected Himself to the horrible death of Calvary, 3 days after they buried Him, came forth with the keys of death and of hell. When I was a younger preacher, I'm a pretty young preacher still, but when I was a younger preacher, I'd say He kicked the end out of the grave and came forth with the keys of death and hell. Now you have to admit that sounds pretty good. It's not true, but it sounds pretty good. Like a lot of preaching today. It's not true, but sounds pretty good. No, He didn't kick the end out of the grave. I don't think the stone was moved to let Him out. It was moved to let the disciples in so that they could see He was already gone. You say, well, how did He get out? Well, how did He get into that room where all the windows and doors were shut? He just came in through it. You said, that's impossible. That's why I like it. 3 days later, He got up out of the grave, and God the Father declared that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, here's the difference. For those of us who do that now, we get heaven. For those that wait until after their death, it's hell. In other words, maybe you're here today, you've never trusted Christ, you've never bowed your knee to Him. There's coming a day that you will. But will that day be too late for the salvation of your soul? Far better, if you're going to have to do it anyway, far better to go ahead and do it now than to wait until it's too late. As I was growing up, my dad didn't have a whole lot of rules he told you about ahead of time. You just kind of stumbled over them as you went along. But Dad would say, I want you to do thus and so. Now, I had one of two choices. I could go do what he told me to do, or I could wait until he whipped me, and then I'd have to go and do it. It didn't take me long to figure out it was a pretty wise thing to leave off the whipping, just go ahead and do the work. Amen? It's a pretty wise thing to go ahead and bow the knee and confess with the tongue Jesus Christ now, today, while it can save your never dying soul, rather than to wait until it's eternally too late. Amen. Jesus Christ, the conqueror, conquered death for me and for you. Oh, I'm going to have to die one of these days, but it's not nearly as difficult as it would have been had Jesus not gone to the grave and got out of it for my benefit and my blessing. I don't know about you, but there's nothing about death that appeals to me. There's nothing about being buried in the ground that appeals to me. I told my wife, I said, I pastored in Greenville, Tennessee for 9 years, and out toward the mountains, there's a mausoleum. And one side of all those shelves faces the mountain. And I told her, I said, I want you to put me in one of them shelves so I'm overlooking the mountains. She said, you'll be dead. You won't be able to see the mountains. I said, you ever been dead before? How you know what I'll be able to do? She said, well, let's just bring this to a conclusion. If you die before I do, you're going in the ground. So I have every reason to believe that it's dirt for me. Nothing appealing about it to me. I would much rather the rapture take place and the Lord pull me out of here before I get to that place. But if death I must face, I can face it with the assurance that my Savior has gone before me and He conquered it. And it's going to be okay. So one of these days, somebody's going to say, Brother Whetstone died this past week. Don't you believe a word of it. I have no intentions of dying. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to change locations, but I've been doing that all my life anyway. One of these days, home will be heaven. And what a glad day that will be for all of us. And it would be wonderful if we could go out together in the rapture of the church. Certainly looks like the world's lining up for it, doesn't it? Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. We'll not get off on prophecy, but nonetheless, it seems like things are aligning perfectly for the coming of the Lord Jesus. So Christ has the authority because He's the Creator, He's the Christ, He's the Conqueror. And then that brings us to the final one. He is the Commander. He is the Commander with the authority because of all the other things that have gone before it. He says all power is given unto Him in heaven and in earth. All the authority is given to Him in heaven and in earth. And right now, as we are in this auditorium, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father on His throne. One of these glad days, He will sit on the throne of His father David in Jerusalem and rule the world with a rod of iron. And for eternity, He will sit on His throne and we will bow down before Him and lay our crowns at His feet. One of these glad days. But here's the question I have for all of us this morning. Is He sitting in the throne room of your heart? Just recently, as a matter of fact, it was last month, I was in a meeting, Brother John O'Malley, we worked together, and it's rare that we are together. Our next meeting, we'll be together for a Sunday through Sunday meeting. We alternate preaching. And we were together alternating in a church in Kentucky. And Brother O'Malley, I tell you, he preached some amazing messages. I've asked him to please put it in print because it's needed in the church today. And I can't preach his whole message to you, but let me give you the crux of it. He says, here is the throne that you sit on. Do you just slide over a little bit and allow God to sit on it with you? Or do you abdicate that throne? Do you get up out of that throne and say to the Lord, it's yours? You sit with the authority in my life. Are you squeezing out a little room for God in your life, or are you giving Him everything? You will never know the satisfaction that this life can give you until you come to that place that you surrender everything for His name's sake. And you say to the Lord, sit in the throne room of my heart and rule my life as you see fit. I've made a lot of bad decisions for my life. The Lord has never made one bad decision in my life. The end of the road of His will has always been a blessing. The end of my own will has seemingly always been a curse. It behooves us to give Him His right place in our life. So the question is this, who's the authority in your life? I'm telling you, if Christ is the authority in your life, there's no doubt where you'll be tonight, 6 o'clock. If He's the authority in your life, there's no question about tithing or offerings. If He's the authority in your life, there's no question about reading the Bible or praying or even witnessing for that matter. Is He the authority? You say, well, He's the authority in this area. Oh, you're just scooting over and giving Him a little room to sit. I would advise you this morning to get up out of the throne and say, dear Lord, You have complete control in my life. By the way, He only means good. Every decision that He makes for you, though it might not suit your fancy at the time, do you know Paul wanted to go to Asia Minor and preach, and God wouldn't let him? Well, he said, well, I'll preach in Mysia. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you won't. Well, I'll preach in Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you won't. Finally, he said, I'll just hunker down and preach right here. The Holy Spirit said, no, you won't. Sometimes God says no to good things. Just because you can't point at something and say that is sin doesn't necessarily mean it's something the Lord wants you to do. Though everybody else might be doing it in the will of God, it might not be God's will for you at that particular time. How do I know that? How do I know when it is His will? Let Him have the throne. Let Him have the authority in your life. I'll not take time to read it this morning, but Ephesians chapter 2 has some wonderful things to say to us. It teaches us, I believe it is in verse number 2 of Ephesians 2, that we can make the world the authority in our lives. How much of your life is consumed in doing what you believe the world wants you to do? Especially ladies, but men too. You'll buy some of the ugliest stuff on earth to wear just because it's fashion. And it won't take but a few years. You'll look back and look at pictures of things you wore and say, oh my soul, I'm embarrassed that I ever put that on. But the reason you spent the extra money to get it is because everybody else was wearing it. And the world was telling you what to do. Men do the same thing, but with different things usually. Because it's fashion. It's what everyone's doing. So he says, number one, the world can be sitting in the throne room of your heart. Number two, he says, and I believe it's also in verse number two of Ephesians 2, he says the prince of this world, the devil, can be telling you what to do, can be giving you orders, sitting on your shoulder, whispering in your ear, if you do this, everyone will love you. Everyone will appreciate you if you do this. He did that to, was it Ananias and Sapphira? I sometimes get that wrong. Yeah, Ananias. Remember they lied to the Holy Spirit, lied to the church about what the Holy Spirit had done, and God killed them. Because they said they gave a gift to the Lord that they had not given. What would it be like this morning, right now, if God killed everybody that didn't tithe? Of the few that would be left in the world, there'd be fear in the church, wouldn't there? Be careful about allowing the devil to give you directions for your life. He is a liar and there's no truth in him. John 8:44. And then he says not only the world and not only the devil, but in verse number 3 of Ephesians 2, he says the flesh can be ruling. And the truth of the matter is, we blame the devil with a lot of stuff that is purely our flesh. We blame the world with a lot of stuff that is purely our flesh. It's what we want. When are we going to set that aside and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to rule in the throne room of my heart? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may it be our choice, may it be our decision this morning to not only slide over and give you room in the throne room of our hearts, but may we just get up and abdicate the throne completely and say, Lord Jesus, this is your place in my life, and I'm willing to follow your leadership for me. Now, Lord, the truth of the matter is, the verses that follow in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, we call it, will mean nothing to us if we don't first of all settle the 18th verse. Who has the authority in our lives? So if there's a Christian here this morning, any of us, that have just slid over and allowed you space, may we get up and allow you full authority in our lives. If there are those this morning that are here that have not trusted you, and they know if they died right now, they would die without you and live that way for eternity, may they today surrender to the Lord Jesus and be saved by the grace of God. Have your perfect will accomplished in every heart and in every life is my prayer.
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.